Hey everyone, welcome to the Mindful Chef. Chef Leisha here, and I am talking to you today instead of from my backyard garden. I'm on a walk in my neighborhood. My neighborhood is like a perfect neighborhood for taking walks. All the trees are just in bloom and really pretty and fantastic, and it's quiet, and we're near a park. The park is around the corner. And it's so important every time I take this walk and I go down to the park and I see all the activity, I think about how important green space is to your health and wellness and well-being in general. And it just makes me wish for more people to have that, you know, access. It's so hard sometimes to wrap your mind around how peaceful something like this is when you can just go for a walk and sit and look at some flowers and trees and people watch and just be able to take your mind off of the stress of the world. And so that's what I'm doing today. Not moving at a super fast pace, but just one that's just right. It is beautiful, 85 at this point. 85 degrees with a nice little breeze going. And thankfully, no one is walking around my neighborhood right now because, you know, COVID got really weird for a minute there when I go for a walk and we're playing musical sidewalks with so many people walking around the neighborhood. It was good to see folks get out, but my routine had been disrupted because of the sheer number of people, as I was out here every day, and you know, it was the first time I would see certain neighbors, so it was quite interesting. But so green space, this is the life. This is what we aim for, we shoot for, having the opportunity to breathe the fresh air, to see the bees do their thing, and hear the birds chirp, and just be able to bring your stress levels down. And lately, the stress has been quite high. And my life, and I've noticed some dangerous patterns that I have entered back into that I thought I left a long time ago. And so one of them is binge eating. I'm just going to put it out there. Not something that I talk about a lot to a lot of people or anyone really, but the eating in my car is a problem. You know, when I'm out and about and needing to run errands, you know, hitting up the taco truck, the drive-through, it's just that mindless shoveling in food to avoid other things that are happening. And that's why the work that I'm doing every single day on myself is being developed into something that could help other people. But it also is something that I want folks to understand. It's a lifelong journey for many of us. To assume that a person gets to a place where they have reached the pinnacle, you know, that they have reached a complete state of enlightenment and they're still alive here on this earth, it's quite an interesting concept, if you ask me. I feel like people who think that that is even possible are deeply out of touch with reality in a way that is possibly pretty scary. If you think about it, because if you feel like you've reached that place where you can say, well done, I've arrived, then what is the point of continuing on? So one of the things that I'm doing is writing and creating and trying to figure out, like, you know, what does wellness look like for me? What can wellness look like for you and for someone else? And coming to an understanding that if we say we have arrived, then that's the end. You know, that's the end. So I know it sounds like that's not like the most exciting topic, but just in terms of thinking about anybody who says that you can have it all and you know, and you get there and it's like, whew, you can breathe, is, I think, just not connected with the fact that life is ever evolving. The world is always changing. Generations and generations go by. There's new innovations. There are so many other factors. And if we limit ourselves by saying if we reach this goal weight, we're satisfied, we are not only boxing ourselves in, but we're also not being truthful. Because everybody knows once you get to goal weight, there's maintenance phase. Anybody who has ever looked into weight loss in particular and not wellness knows that weight loss is all about hitting your goal weight and then hitting maintenance phase. So finding out that whatever you did to lose weight may not necessarily be what you want to continue doing, but learning that it is necessary for maintenance is one of those slap in the faces that so many of us come to terms with. Yeah, I can drop a lot of weight if I never eat bread in the next 30 days, right? But then what happens when I want a sandwich? So that's why I mostly center myself around the notion of wellness detached from a number on the scale. Because doing anything other than that means that you're not really centering and focusing on the whole human being. Any of us can develop the skills that we need to be very disciplined and very strict for a short period of time. Most people, with the right tools, you can do that. What happens after that short period of time comes to an end? What's left then? And that's up to you to answer and decide for yourself. But the truth is that when you get to that point, you can celebrate that, but then now you have this other thing happening. And if you don't deal with the shit that got you into your situation in the first place, there is no way that you will hit goal weight and stay there without doing extra work. So that's why wellness is the pursuit of mine and not weight loss. I never say weight loss. I want to lose some pounds. If I didn't, I wouldn't be out here right now in this heat walking and focusing on the fact that I just ate a lot of food in my car and I feel really bad about it. So I don't want to be like, I don't want to be misunderstood. I do want to lose some weight, but weight can't be my focus because weight is fleeting and wellness is lifelong, you know? And that doesn't say that you can't be happy and passionate about life and live vivaciously in the space that you are in currently. And I think that is one of the most problematic themes that we see often with people who are bigger, who go on a wellness journey because the world is telling them to shrink their size physically while they're in a different headspace and quite frankly might be wanting to expand their mind and reach particular goals. that don't have nothing to do with the scale. Fat shaming is a huge part of the problem because, you know, the world tells fat people to get off their ass and move. And then when they get off their ass and move, they have comments about the way they're getting off their asses and moving. So you can't win. Then people who are genetically just probably never going to be heavy, still have health concerns, still need to exercise because the cardiovascular system needs it, the body needs it. And they too are scrutinized for in which the way they do it. So how do we combat all of the noise? And that's why community is so important. And that's why I, you know, encourage everybody to find their community, find their tribe, where the only rule is to be 100% authentically you in your current body, in your current state, in your current life, and do that unapologetically. The issue is many of us don't even know who that person looks like because we have lacked in our wellness journey. We lack confidence in who God created us to be. We lack faith in the world because we, you know, some people have been bullied since they were children and they grow up to be adults who are afraid to be themselves because they've been told their entire lives who they are isn't right, that there's something wrong with them. And these are the issues that lead a person into behaviors and patterns that shape their wellness or lack thereof. So we're talking about eating disorders and exercise habits and so much more. And that is just the stuff that we really have control over. I haven't even yet spoken about in this podcast about the systemic issues that lie in this space as well. Because if you're black or brown or poor, you have some very specific systemic issues that were set up hundreds of years ago for you not to succeed. So just when you think you hit a stride and you're going good and you've got some good habits developed, a routine that's solid, your mind is becoming clearer and stronger, your confidence is growing so that you actually speak out against diet culture, the problematic medical system, all these other things. Something comes and just whacks you over the head and reminds you that there are things that are far beyond your reach that were set in place a long time ago that were clearly designed to keep you in a position of submission and in a position of illness and in a position of lacking mental clarity, among other things. So I'm putting something together that I hope will be a useful tool for people who, like myself, are wanting to get off that roller coaster ride, but also understanding that while this ride sucks, life is still always going to be a roller coaster. So maybe getting on one that better suits you is the key, you know? Like, and I'm speaking from a place of missing Disneyland. I love roller coasters. I love Disney. My family and I go often. And this COVID-19 has us sitting at home, missing out on family vacations. But What do I mean by the roller coaster? So the thing is that certain rides just ain't your speed. It's too jarring. Might mess up your back and all of that. Then there's other rides. Hey, that's your jam right there. The way the curves hit. If you want to go upside down, it goes upside down. If you like to spin in circles, you can do that. That's the one thing I don't do, by the way. I love roller coasters, but I don't want to get on any ride that spins in a circle. And that's the whole thing. So, at times I might feel like life has me on that particular ride. The one that's spinning in a circle. And it's making me sick. It doesn't feel good. And I have to figure out how to get off that ride and find the right one. I feel like a wellness journey, the key word is journey, and not necessarily wellness, because if you look at all of the commercials for, yeah, sorry about that background noise. I didn't realize it's going to be this loud in the neighborhood park, but this is what I like about recording outside. You give me raw and uncut. But the thing about the wellness journey is, like, when you see commercials for different weight loss organizations, they're all popping up everywhere. We have Staples. I won't name them, but the themes are always the same. Let me teach you how to do this for good. You know, lose the weight for good. Develop better habits for good. And I think that is the wrong way to look at it. I do. Because if it was the right way, 99% of the population would stay right where they are once they reach goal weight. Right? Because those tools, in air quotes, that have been given with the mindset of for good are really not for good. It's impossible. How is it possible to find that one thing for good in perpetuity that works for everyone when the world changes so much? Every step of the way. How is it possible to find the for good? But that doesn't mean we throw everything out the window either. Because while there's not a for good, there is a right now, next month, next year. I think the very basic level and understanding of wellness is getting to know yourself. And if you talk to religious people, no matter what background they are, knowledge of self and whatever deities they believe in is important as well. So everything starts with understanding you. How do you understand you? You understand you by creating a wellness journal. And no, I'm not talking about weighing and measuring food, unless that brings you comfort. I'm talking about the type of journal where you are using it as a regular diary about your feelings about the world around you, but you're also taking specific notice to other things, like how you feel after you eat or before and after exercise, and as well as setting appropriate goals and documenting the steps that you're taking towards those appropriate goals. That's what a wellness journal is. It is a key. And in the time that I have and seeing clients after I finished getting my degree, they come to me for a various number of reasons, right? But every session with every person always starts the same. Where's your wellness journal? And do you need help setting one up? Because specifically for those who may have chronic diseases and you see a physician frequently, if you don't have a wellness journal, you might miss some of the signs and signals that your body is sending you while you're dealing with the management of these ailments. I experienced that myself over the years and didn't realize that it was a need until my husband was with me at an appointment and was able to tell the doctor everything that I had missed, things that I didn't consider or think about. Because when you're living in a chronic pain situation or having some other ailments, your goal is just making sure you have enough spoons to get through the day. So that is often one of the main factors. You forget what you went through just because you're just trying to get through the day. So whatever may be real bad, you might downplay it. Oh, mud. You might downplay it because that's what you do every day. I often tell people I live on a scale of 1 to 10. As far as pain is concerned, I live at 8. Whether it be my feet or my knees, I'm at 8. And if 8 is my set point, and no one sees me in pain until I get to 10, then I'm inclined to think that my 8 is all right, because I didn't go to 9 today, you know? But living at a pain scale of 8 is not a good thing. It really isn't. So what do you do to change that? How do you fix it? You know? But one of the ways you fix it is by being able to appropriately place that information in the hands of a medical practitioner who can assess. Now, we know Black and brown folks got issues with doctors. And even using the wellness journal, you could come up against some pushback. You could be ignored still. You could not have your needs met. But at the very least, you have this living, breathing document that if you are ignored and dismissed, you can take it to somebody else. Fire that doctor. Because they work for you. Something we forget is that they literally do work for us. We are the ones that are responsible for their very big paycheck. So we should start acting accordingly and letting it be known that we are not going to be ignored. And again, that comes from a place of confidence and self-assuredness that most of us who are on a wellness journey lack, right? Confidence eludes us simply because it's rough out here when you have been ignored for so long, when you have been treated as invisible, or when it's the exact opposite, when you're not invisible, but you're overly seen in a negative way. Because if you walk into a room in a space, your presence shifts the energy and people don't treat you well. So it makes you clam up and not want to address anything because you don't think that the person's looking at you even see you as human. Right? You're a caricature for their amusement. So today, starting over day one with the wellness journal, and I am encouraging everyone who is listening today to do the same thing. That's your action item for the day. We all have to have actionable items, and that's something that I discuss in this project I'm putting together that will be ready soon, is in your goal setting, in your journey, you have to have actionable items included in your goals. Otherwise, it's pointless. I can say all day long that I want something. If I don't work towards it, it's just something that I want. It's not going to happen unless I put feet to pavement. That's the real deal. That's the good. Put feet to pavement and watch what happens. And that means to do it in your way too. I just want you to know, like, however it looks best and feels best for you is really my whole mantra. Because we all got different personality styles and everything. Because I am prior military, I am stuck in this middle range where, yeah, cuss me out and tell me to get myself together because it motivates me. But also because I've been a civilian long enough and I am turning 43 soon. And I don't want people telling me what to do. I'm also like, you don't get to tell me what to do. I'm going to do it how I want to. So, yeah, I got problems. But, you know, whatever style meets your needs. I'm out here walking, and I'm not walking at an incredibly fast pace. I'm walking at my pace. You know, when I stretch and do yoga, I'm doing it at my way. When I am able to get on the elliptical, because again, these feet and knees, I'm moving as fast as I can at the level that I can, at the frequency that I'm able to and desire to. It's important that you know yourself so that you can move through your wellness journey in this way. So consider your journal for the next 30 days to be an experiment where you take a look at you, you know, and you're not logging with any particular intent to change anything in the 30 days. You're just logging. You're just journaling. You're just expressing. And that way you can go back at the end of the 30 days and read over and get to know you. Read it like a book. Get to know you. People always want to do a 30-day thing at the beginning of the month. Today is the 10th. It just hit me yesterday on July 9th that in 30 days, I'm going to be 43 years old. And I'm excited about it. Not as excited as if I could spend it doing something fantastic like being at Disneyland. But excited because I'm a birthday girl. I love my birthday. I always celebrate my birthday. I always make plans to celebrate my birthday. And whatever those plans are, it's just a conscious decision that this is how I'm going to choose to exert my energy on the day that my parents welcome me into the world. So with that, July 9th was like, I wonder what my mom felt like, you know, a month before my arrival. I wonder what my grandmother felt a month before my arrival, how my dad felt. You know, we don't often think about the men, but I have a daddy, you know. How did he feel a month before my arrival? So 30 days can start at any day, okay? Don't wait for Monday to work out, to start the week. Don't wait for the first of the month, the last day of the month. I've been guilty of that. It's Friday. I'm like, it's going to be triple digits all weekend. Do I really want to go outside and walk today? Or should I wait until Monday when it's going to be cooler? The reality is that Monday may not come for me. So all I got is today. So this is what I'm doing today. We can't keep planning to change our lives on a particular day and time. We got to look at the present, where we are right now, and do what we can now. So my call to action to everyone who is listening is to take the next 30 days to get you to know yourself. Learn you. Document you. Consider yourself. And in considering yourself, you become a better human for the whole world. You really do. And that line is specifically for those who think that focusing on yourself is selfish. Because there are a lot of people who would like to believe that putting yourself first, focusing on yourself, is a selfish thing, and that the path to enlightenment is to follow another voice. Focus on another voice and put your own voice out. I used to think that. I don't anymore. I believe that learning you helps you to learn your world, helps you to grow deeper in your faith, helps you to become more connected to your family, your friends, and your community. You won't compromise on things that don't belong to you. You won't be manipulated into doing things, being things, living a way that doesn't suit you. Because we were all created with very specific intent in mind. That's why we're all different. What someone else chooses for you, how do you know that's for you? You got to know where you stand, where you land, and choose for yourself. And don't let someone else project a choice onto you. So, wellness journals start today. When I get back inside, when I rehydrate myself, I'm going to sit down and write down some things, because it's early afternoon here. I'm going to write down some things, and I'm going to document it in my planner. I use a planner every day, so I don't have to have a separate journal. But your journal doesn't have to be fancy, by the way. It could be a regular composition notebook. It can be a legal pad, whatever you have. You know, if you're like me and you use a planner, you might fancy it up. But really, it's just to write down. My knees were hurting when I started. I walked a certain amount. My knee my knee hurts, my foot doesn't, you know, how much water did I drink? How am I feeling about the day emotionally? All of those things. And then move forward from there, you know? So I just wanted to share today, share this mindful moment while I'm listening to the birds talk to each other, share this moment of revelation as the countdown to 43 begins. Understand and admit that I'm eating my feelings. I'm not moving as much as I should. And until I start to work through those things that are bothering me, those patterns won't stop. So keep that in mind as you start your journal, that you have to be able to reveal undesired patterns, and you have to be able to reveal the why behind them so that you can start to learn how to change them. And how you change them is going to be another podcast, because that's a whole different subject. But it's been real good today, you guys. Thank you so much for joining me on my afternoon walk before we get to triple digits. And appreciate every listener. If you are interested in starting a vegan challenge with me, a 30-day vegan challenge with me, look for the Barnett Community Wellness Group on Facebook. We are starting a vegan challenge. The start date is for August 1st because some people do like to start things on the 1st. But we are starting to have the conversation about why we're going to do it and how. And in that space, all are welcome, no matter what you decide to do, because we just want to inform. There will be recipes posted, support given, articles shared, encouragement. It is a judgment-free zone. So offenders will be kicked out immediately. But I just wanted you to know that I'm here and that I'm on this path with you. All right. Until next time, this has been the Mindful Chef. See you soon. Bye.